I'm Nora Flaherty, and this is MPBN Radio. It's Maine Things Considered. On the program this evening, a new study finds New England doesn't need new natural gas pipelines. Not surprisingly, it's controversial. And a look at the bills that might yet be considered in the upcoming legislative session. We'll have those stories ahead. First, this news. This is Maine Things Considered on MPBN Radio. I'm Nora Flaherty. A new study commissioned by the Massachusetts Attorney General finds that New England can continue to have reliable power for the next 15 years without the region having to invest in new natural gas pipeline capacity. Maine Governor Paul LePage and other New England governors have often promoted the idea that we do need more natural gas pipeline capacity. The study was performed by Analysis Group Incorporated with input from utilities, the natural gas industry, clean energy, and consumer groups. As part of our ongoing series, Beyond 350, Confronting Climate Change, Susan Sharon reports that market reforms and expanded efficiency programs are reducing energy demand, keeping electricity prices in check, and maybe changing the conversation.
When it comes to addressing regional energy needs, the message ratepayers often hear goes something like this.
We don't need another study. What we need is a pipeline to come through here, so not only can industry have access to inexpensive natural gas, but people on fixed incomes and everyday people.
Morris Housen is the CEO of Irving Industries, which operates a paper mill in Irving, Massachusetts. Housen has also been a voice in a recent television ad campaign for a group called the Coalition to Lower Energy Costs. The coalition has ties to Kinder Morgan, an energy company that is proposing a 188-mile-long pipeline through western Massachusetts and southern New Hampshire. Maine attorney Tony Buxton, who represents Kinder Morgan, along with other large industrial electricity users, is the coalition's leader. He says the Massachusetts Attorney General's study, which looked at energy reliability over the next 15 years, didn't ask the right question.
The study done by the analysis group for the Attorney General answers a question that nobody has asked and does not need to be asked. No one has asserted that the lights are going to go out in New England because we have high energy costs.
Buxton says the issue confronting New England is what to do about high energy costs, while also continuing the very successful efforts to reduce emissions. Peter Shattuck says energy prices are coming down. Shattuck is with the Acadia Center, a nonprofit think tank that advocates for clean energy solutions. Shattuck points out that Massachusetts electricity prices are about 25% lower than last year. And he says it's because of a combination of factors.
It's better planning by the power plant owners, simply ensuring that their plants are ready to run, that they have adequate supplies of fuels, and also significantly due to market reforms. ISO New England, the regional grid operator, has put in place a system of rewards and penalties that ensures that power plants have the fuels they need and they're able to run when called on.
And when it comes to Maine's electricity prices?
Maine has the lowest electric prices in New England, almost all the time.
Independent Senator Angus King recently addressed an Island Energy conference where he shared one of his favorite apps with the audience. ISO To Go puts real-time wholesale electricity pricing and power grid information in the palm of your hand.
What we all hear is how high our electric prices are. In fact, we have generally the lowest electric prices between here and Pennsylvania.
King says that doesn't mean energy rates in New England aren't an issue. He says they are. And that's because the region, including Maine, has moved away from coal, which is cheap but also more polluting. Daniel Sossland, president of the Acadia Center, says coal plants and power plants are part of the past, and energy efficiency and cleaner technology is the wave of the future.
People don't realize that because of the way energy efficiency investments have occurred in Massachusetts and Vermont and other states, over $400 million in planned transmission upgrade projects have been indefinitely deferred in the region. Now, Maine ratepayers would have paid for that. A portion of that. All ratepayers in New England share in the cost of these things. We've saved over $400 million, and people don't see that, but that is the future.
And Sossland says the public should not be forced to underwrite expensive, privately owned pipeline projects before all other viable alternatives are considered. For MPBN News, I'm Susan Sharon.
You're listening to Maine Things Considered on MPBN Radio. Still to come, improving state psychiatric care, funding Planned Parenthood, and fixing military pension benefits might be on the table in the January legislative session. But first, critics of the main Republican Party say it's using the terrorist killings in Paris to drive a signature-gathering effort aimed at its welfare reform agenda. The party notified its members this week that Maine law currently allows electronic benefit cards, or EBT cards, to be used to wire money to foreign countries. That would end, say party officials, under proposed reforms contained in a citizen initiative question the party wants to place on next year's ballot. A.J. Higgins has details.
The Maine Republican Party continues its push to lower the state's income tax rate and reform welfare laws through two citizen initiative questions. It faces a deadline of January 31st to gather enough signatures to get on the fall ballot. In an attempt to recruit more signature gatherers, State Party Chair Rick Bennett sent out an email Tuesday to party members asking for help in stopping a practice that's allowed under current law. Jason Savage is the party's executive director.
There's no reason that Maine's precious taxpayer dollars that are meant to help the truly needy should be able to be sent in wire transfers to foreign countries.
The LePage administration has also raised questions about alleged EBT card abuses, including recipients using benefits to buy drugs, cigarettes, and alcoholic beverages, and make purchases in strip clubs and casinos. And Savage says that no one should doubt that the cards are being used for foreign transactions.
I can't tell you that we know exactly how many dollars or how many wire transfers are done, but we do know that they have been done, and we feel it's important to stop that because that loophole, you know, just doesn't need to exist, and there's no justification for taking the dollars that Maine taxpayers pay to help people who are in need and allowing them to be just directly wired right out of the country.
And in the aftermath of the terrorist killings in Paris and this week's threat by Islamic State to stage similar attacks in Washington, D.C., Savage says it's important that the taxpayers know where their money, in the form of welfare benefits, is going.
There is a possibility that that money could be going to people who are not friends of the United States. We have no way to control the recipients of that money.
This proposal is really an example of fear-mongering at its worst.
At Maine Equal Justice Partners, an Augusta-based advocacy group for the poor, Executive Director Robin Merrill says the GOP is using fear and bigotry to rally its base. But Merrill says that the GOP is really hurting single mothers in Maine who rely on up to $485 a month in cash benefits under the federally funded Temporary Assistance for Needy Families program that can be accessed with an EBT card.
The vast majority of people, the people who would be impacted by this are single moms raising kids on their own. And it's a very modest benefit, and it typically goes toward rent. If it covers the whole rent, it sometimes, you know, doesn't even cover the rent, but it goes toward that.
Merrill says she is not aware of any instances in which EBT cards have been used to fund wire transfers to foreign countries, a conclusion shared by Representative Drew Katine, a Westbrook Democrat who chairs the legislature's Health and Human Services Committee, which oversees EBT policies. Katine says policies regulating the use of EBT cards are set by the federal government, and he questions the timing of the GOP call to action, coupled with Governor LePage's decision to block Syrian refugees from resettling in Maine in the aftermath of the Paris terror attacks.
The bodies of the dead have not yet been buried, and the people who were critically injured are still lying in hospitals, and you see people trying to take political advantage over that situation. I think it ought to make people in Maine very angry.
Supporters of the Welfare Reform Initiative will have to gather 62,000 signatures by the end of January to qualify for the fall 2016 ballot. For MPBN News, I'm A.J. Higgins.
Finally this evening, the Maine Legislative Council will hear appeals on bills tomorrow that it decided before that it would not consider in the legislative session it starts in January. In all, there are about 150 bills that sponsors are hoping will get a second chance. They include measures aimed at improving state psychiatric care, funding Planned Parenthood, and fixing an inadvertent cut in military pension benefits. Patty White has our story.
When the session starts just after New Year's, Republican House spokesperson Rob Poindexter says lawmakers will have their work cut out for them.
We have 170-some-odd carryover bills that we have to deal with. And the second session is really reserved for emergency legislation.
But some hopeful sponsors believe their bills, which were not admitted for consideration in January, are worthy of a second look. One, which comes from House Republican leader Ken Fredette, would fix what Poindexter says is a language error in the current budget that requires those with military pension benefits to offset their income tax deduction with up to $10,000 in Social Security benefits.
It's been more than a decade where they have not had to offset their pensions with the Social Security benefit. So it actually, the way it was written, takes a benefit away that they've had for years.
On the Democratic side, Representative Drew Gittin wants the Legislative Council to accept his bill that would require Maine's Department of Health and Human Services to create a plan to improve care at Riverview Psychiatric Center.
It's well past the time to really seriously try to fix the problems there. You know, we really need to make that kind of commitment.
Riverview is trying to regain federal certification after regulators discovered safety violations in 2013 that included the use of stun guns and handcuffs on patients.
It tells the department to look across the entire state, inventory the beds, inventory what the unmet need is, look at the finances, and come forward with a plan.
Also up for appeal is a bill sponsored by Republican Representative Marianne Kinney that would divert state funding from Planned Parenthood facilities to federally qualified health centers. That bill was introduced in the wake of videos released by an anti-abortion group last summer that purported to show Planned Parenthood illegally profits from the sale of fetal tissue. For MPBN News, I'm Patty White.
And at 13 minutes before 6, let's check the weather forecast with meteorologist Paul Cousins.
The colossal Great Lakes storm will slowly scour this cool air out of Maine during the next 24 hours. Tonight's lows, mid-20s north, mid-30s south, and an overcast will slowly fan out across the state. Tomorrow, a gray day. Only a hit-or-miss sprinkle possible during most hours. The steadier rain spilling into the state from the west late in the day. 40 to 50 north to south. Wind-driven rain will soak us all tomorrow night and Friday. And it is likely that the rain will evacuate southwestern counties during the afternoon. Balmy, low 40s north to mid-50s south. Saturday, showers possible over down east Maine. Otherwise, look for a blend of sun and clouds. A pleasant day. Near 40 north, low 50s south. Sunday, mostly cloudy with showers statewide, and it will be colder, mixing with snow over the mountains. This is meteorologist Paul Cousins for the Maine Public Broadcasting Network.
And that's Maine Things Considered. Thanks today to Ed Morin, Mal Leary, Barbara Caridi, and Andrew Catalina. I'm Nora Flaherty.